Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. If someone were to ask you the differences between Lutheranism and Roman Catholicism, it wouldn't be very long before you got to the subject of Mary. Lutherans don't venerate or devote themselves to Mary. Lutherans don't pray to Mary. Lutherans don't believe that Mary was free from all sin. But that doesn't mean that we think of Mary as just another poor, miserable sinner, no different from anyone else. We Lutherans acknowledge her unique role in salvation history. We recognize that Mary had a connection to God that no other person before or since can claim. Not Adam, not Moses, not David, not Peter, not Paul, no one. For no one but Mary held God in her womb. No one but Mary nursed God at her breast. No one but Mary can lay claim to the title Mother of God. This is a one-of-a-kind honor bestowed on Mary and Mary alone. Here again, the announcement of the angel Gabriel to her, that which just precedes our gospel lesson this morning. Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. You have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Who could blame Mary if she became prideful, or even just a little bit puffed up, at such a great and glorious honor? No one would have been surprised if she had succumbed to the sin of vanity after these words of Gabriel. After all, that's what we poor sinners tend to do. The child puffs out his chest a little bit more when he has a blue ribbon pinned to it. The young woman makes sure to draw all eyes to herself when she walks into the room with a new hairstyle and a beautiful dress. The middle-aged man is careful to drive his new sports car a little bit more slowly in front of all the other driveways in the neighborhood. The grandparents are quick to share all the latest achievements of their children and grandchildren with their friends. It's practically universal. Whenever we acquire or achieve something special, whether it be skill or looks, money, possessions, position, or whatever, we want everyone else to know it, and we want to know that everyone else knows it too. That's why we constantly check how many likes or views we've gotten on our social media page. And while it may be true that Instagram and Facebook, Twitter, and the like have only exacerbated our tendencies to parade our achievements and acquisitions before others, we can, and yes, do, just as easily boast of ourselves over coffee or while playing bridge. But what about the child with the red ribbon? The young woman who didn't have time to do her hair or makeup? The middle-aged man who drives a sensible family car? Or the grandparents whose children's and grandchildren's deeds aren't quite worth sharing? Well, you've been in that position too, I'm sure. Clicking through your feed, seeing pictures of new homes, exotic vacations, mouth-watering dishes, or maybe you've just sipped your coffee quietly while others go on and on. What thoughts and feelings arise in your heart? Bitterness? Suspicion? Resentment? Who could blame Elizabeth if those kinds of feelings entered her heart when Mary entered her house and greeted her? Talk about being overshadowed. She, too, had been named the recipient of a great miracle of God. Like Abraham and Sarah long ago, she and her husband Zechariah would have a son in their old age. And this son would be great before the Lord. He would be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. He would turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He would go before him in the spirit of and power of Elijah. That's a tremendous honor. And then her cousin Mary is told that she would be the mother of the Messiah. Indeed, the very mother of God himself. And a virgin, too. What's a child granted in old age next to that? And again, one might assume that Mary would feel a little bit more prideful at the good news she had received, and maybe Elizabeth might feel a little bitter that her good news wasn't quite so good. But they didn't. As you heard, Mary did not succumb to haughty arrogance, nor did Elizabeth succumb to bitterness and resentment. Mary, upon hearing the good news spoken to her by the angel Gabriel, confessed herself to be the servant of the Lord. And then she went forth in haste to serve, to assist, to help Elizabeth and Zechariah. And Elizabeth, when she heard the greeting of Mary, exclaimed loudly that Mary was blessed among women and indeed the mother of my Lord. And so we see that Mary received the great honor of bearing the Christ child with meekness and humility. And Elizabeth received Mary by sharing in her joy and gladness. What a marvelous example set for us Christians by these two saintly women. Mary is the mother of God. She is blessed among women. But she did not promote and parade herself. Instead, she devoted herself to Elizabeth's needs, as she too was with child, serving the Lord by serving her neighbor. So also we, when we are blessed with great achievement, prosperity, or honor, we should not call attention to ourselves in order to receive the praises of men. But we should confess ourselves to be mere servants of God ourselves. And not just in speech, but also in deed. Serving our neighbors as God gives us the opportunity. Likewise, Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, the Elijah who was to come, she didn't grumble that she didn't get to be the mother of the Lord. But she honored and blessed Mary. She rejoiced in her great blessing. And so also we, when we hear of the great blessings that others have received, we should not have an attitude of resentment or suspicion toward them. But instead, as the Apostle Paul writes in Romans, we should rejoice with those who rejoice. Now, this can be done superficially, of course. One might be outwardly humble and yet inwardly seek praise, or outwardly be complimentary and yet inwardly be envious. But this was not the case with Mary and Elizabeth, nor should it be the case for us Christians. For our external works as Christians proceed from something inside. That is faith in the heart, faith worked by the Holy Spirit. By faith, we acknowledge that every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change, and therefore, from this faith, we rejoice with those who rejoice, as well as weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another, and not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. But our Christian faith is far more than just acknowledging God as the giver of good gifts, although it certainly includes that. Rather, true saving faith, worked in the heart by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, true saving faith acknowledges God as the giver of the greatest gift, Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior. As St. Paul writes in our epistle today, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." And this faith, faith in Jesus the Savior, born of Mary, this faith will show itself in our works. Again, when the angel Gabriel announced that the Holy Spirit would come upon her and the power of the Most High would overshadow her, when he announced to Mary that the child to be born would be called Holy, the Son of God, Mary responded, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Mary heard the word of God spoken by the angel Gabriel. She received that word about Christ in faith. Indeed, she was the first among many to believe that God's promised redemption would be fulfilled in that child who dwelt in her womb. And then she humbly submitted to the Lord's will. Elizabeth soon followed in that same saving faith in Jesus. For when she heard Mary's greeting, and the baby John leaped in her womb for joy, she confessed Mary to be the mother of her Lord. She too believed that that little boy in Mary's womb, a mere embryo at that point, that he was the long-awaited Christ the Savior, promised by the mouth of God's holy prophets of old. And so she rejoiced with Mary in what God had done for her and through her. You see then, neither Mary nor Elizabeth sought their own honor or glory or praise, nor did they seek to denigrate the others. But instead they both looked to and believed in Mary's Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who alone is worthy of all honor and glory and praise. And so, after receiving the blessing spoken by Elizabeth, Mary sang. She sang one of the most beautiful hymns ever sung, the Magnificat. And in this song, which we heard, which we ourselves sing a few moments ago, Mary glorified not herself. She didn't laud any attributes of humility or worthiness in her, but rather her soul magnified the Lord, and her spirit rejoiced in God. Why? Because, as she confessed, He is her Savior from sin, and because He had looked upon, regarded, the lowly and humble estate of her, His servant. In the Magnificat, Mary, by the Holy Spirit, confesses that God exalts those of humble estate and brings down the mighty from their thrones. This is what God does, after all. Out of all that is nothing and worthless, despised, wretched, or dead, God makes things that are precious, honorable, blessed, and living. We see this most clearly in the life, death, and resurrection of Mary's Son, Jesus. He who is begotten of the Father from eternity, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, became man for us men and for our salvation. He did not seek his own glory. He came not to be served, but to serve. He dwelt among men as man, in humility, in weakness, in lowliness. And then he humbled himself all the more by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He who is almighty set aside his heavenly throne to exalt those of humble estate. He who is all surpassingly rich made himself poor and emptied himself in order to fill those who hunger for righteousness with good things. By his humiliation, even by his crucifixion, Jesus shows that he is not ashamed to call you his brother. And even to this day, he calls out through his word, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Today he calls to you through the word which you hear. Come to him. Humble yourself before the Lord. Confess your sin against God and against your neighbor. Acknowledge your pride, your envy, your ungratefulness, and whatever else you have thought, said, and done against God's law. Confess your sins, and you will be absolved, forgiven. You will be given rest. Indeed, you will be exalted, even as Christ, who humbled himself by bearing the sins of the world, has been highly exalted. He is risen from the grave. He lives and reigns to all eternity. And all who believe and are baptized into his name shall live forever under him in his kingdom, in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Again, this is Mary's faith, and we do well to emulate it. She rejoiced not in herself, not in any virtue of hers, but in God her Savior, who at that very moment was forming in her womb. She believed that the little child in her womb was great, the Son of the Most High. She believed that he would be given the throne of his father David and reign over the house of Jacob. She believed that of his kingdom there would be no end. She believed that her baby boy was and is her Lord, God, and Savior. And for this she was and eternally is blessed. Just as Elizabeth declared, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And then, in that blessed faith, she went forth. She went with haste to Elizabeth and Zachariah's house, not to gloat, not to show off, but to declare how much God had done for her, and to serve her neighbor in lowliness. And in that same faith, Elizabeth received her, not begrudgingly or reluctantly, but rejoicing with her, as she knew her Lord had been conceived and would soon be born for her too. So again, while Mary is most certainly not the object of our prayers or worship, she is and ought to be our example. First, of humility. Like Mary, and Elizabeth too, for that matter, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation and the rich in his humiliation, as James writes in his epistle. And that means whether you or your fellow Christian have been blessed in some special way, give thanks and praise to God and God alone, just as Mary did. But secondly, follow the example of Mary in faith all the more. For if you share her faith, if you believe that her Son is your Lord, God, and Savior from sin, death, and the devil, if you believe that that little embryo in her womb would be born for you, die for you, and rise again for you, then you too are blessed. For truly blessed are those who believe that there will be a fulfillment of what was spoken to them by the Lord. The Lord has spoken to you many great and exceeding promises. Blessed are you who believe that the Lord will fulfill and does fulfill what he speaks. That your sins are forgiven. That he lifts up his countenance upon you and gives you peace. That the Savior Jesus Christ will transform your lowly body to be like his glorious body someday, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please.